Mark Driscoll is making headlines for throwing Jezebel down at the Stronger Men's Conference that opened with a sword-swallowing act he deemed as Jezebelic. Beyond Christian media, secular outlets like Newsweek and USA Today have picked up the story. And although Driscoll was kicked off the platform after his Jehu-like confrontation, he's not letting up on Jezebel. Indeed, he's been pounding the drum and sounding the alarm all week long. This is Jennifer LeClaire, and this is Praying the News. On today's broadcast, we'll examine what happened at this Christian men's conference and how Jezebel has waged war against the church, not just that church, the church, and against men in particular. Today's broadcast is brought to you by School of the Spirit. Find my new book, Unmasking Jezebel's Intercessors, as well as many other resources on Jezebel and her witchcraft at schoolofthespirit.tv. Let's unpack this. James River Church hosts the Stronger Men's Conference every year to inspire and equip men to live out God's vision for manhood to be the husbands, fathers, and leaders God has called them to be. That's sort of ironic considering the Jezebelic display that Driscoll confronted. Men are not supposed to tolerate Jezebel. None of us are supposed to tolerate Jezebel. And Driscoll took exception to the raunchy performance that included a sword swallower who stripped his shirt off and climbed up a pole during the conference, my lord. Driscoll indeed had fire in his bones when he addressed the conference. Let's listen in.
And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Bravo, Pastor Mark. You know, Pastor Mark was persecuted for standing against Jezebel, who in the Bible slaughtered the prophets. So there's no surprise that people didn't agree with him and people are smashing him. Now, the conference leader actually evicted him from the stage and insisted that Pastor Mark should have come to him privately. That's according to news reports. So who is this Jezebel spirit? You know, there's too many myths and misconceptions about Jezebel. Let me set the record straight. Jezebel is not a spirit of control or manipulation. No, Jezebel uses control and manipulation as a means to an end, but it goes far beyond that. While the First and Second Kings, the books of the Bible, tell the story of Jezebel in action, Revelation 2 offers more insight into what Jezebel really is, the spirit behind the women that are depicted in the Bible, the evil women that were depicted in the Bible, both named Jezebel. Look at this in Revelation 2, verse 20. But I still have something against you because of that woman Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet, and you let her teach and mislead my servants to do immoral things and eat food sacrificed to idols. Now, Jezebel is a spirit of seduction. It teaches, it seduces, it misleads. The end game is to lead you away from Jesus into immorality and into idolatry. And God knows how many men fell into temptation after this Jezebelic demonstration opened the conference. I believe this opening unleashed a spirit of perversion over the people in the room. Let's be clear, Jezebel doesn't make men stronger. Selah. I said Jezebel doesn't make men stronger. Jezebel makes men eunuchs. She castrates men, rendering them impotent. Think about Jezebel's influence on the entertainment industry. The media's portrayal of dads as lazy, incompetent, and stupid is clearly Jezebel's work. You know, back in the 1950s, you watched the black and white reruns on TV. TV showed fathers as the pillar of the home. They were wise counselors. They were patient mentors. But somewhere along the lines, Jezebel has perverted the image of men and wants to pervert men's sexuality. Listen in to my segment on Jezebel's eunuchs from my course, Will the Real Jezebel Stand Up?
All right. Well, now we are getting into something a lot of people don't talk about, and that is Jezebel's eunuchs. This is one of the puppets that I talk about at length in my book, Jezebel's Puppets. So we've got to understand this. This is not a commonly taught thing here. Jezebel's false kingdom infrastructure also relies on eunuchs. Eunuchs are part and parcel of how Jezebel operates. She works through eunuchs. Now, the definition, the dictionary definition of a eunuch is a man who has been castrated, usually before puberty, but you could take it spiritually and say they've been spiritually castrated. In other words, they have been stripped of their identity. They have been stripped of their power. They are impotent. So eunuchs can't reproduce. So Jezebel's always looking for new eunuchs. So in Bible times, eunuchs were actually used to guard women's living areas. Because they were castrated, they would have no sexual desire for women. And eunuchs actually helped prepare Esther, remember that, in the book of Esther, and other women to meet the king as he searched for his new wife in Esther chapter 1. However, here's something interesting. Eunuchs were actually not cut off from covenant with God. Isaiah 56, 4 through 5 says, "For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than the sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." So God was there in Isaiah prophesying about honoring eunuchs. And Jesus spoke about eunuchs, saying, you know, some are eunuchs because they want to be. Some are eunuchs dedicated to the kingdom of God. Some are eunuchs because they're made to be. But Jezebel, Queen Jezebel in the Old Testament, she had eunuchs. You remember that? They were servants in Ahab's house, and they did her dirty work. As eunuchs, these servants were expected to do whatever their king and queen asked. Since society, we're going to get in some good stuff in just a minute, but I got to give you some groundwork. Since society held eunuchs in such low esteem, they could easily be removed or even killed for disobedience. So Queen Jezebel's eunuchs were at her beck and call. And in the natural, people who are operating in the spirit of Jezebel also have eunuchs at their beck and call, and they're rather intimidated by Jezebel. So in other words, real life, modern day spiritual eunuchs are often intimidated by those operating through a Jezebel spirit. She works to get them under her thumb. They are among Jezebel's puppets. So eunuchs were typically in the Bible faithful to perform their duties, not always though truly loyal to their masters. Remember that it was the eunuchs who threw Jezebel down, which is really ironic because they were absolutely impotent. They were powerless to do anything against her abuses. They had to do everything that she said, but at the end, they were the ones that threw her down. So think about this for a minute. The eunuchs served in Jezebel's bedroom, and the bedroom, that's an intimate place. Like, I don't just let anybody come in my bedroom. I don't know about you. That puts you about as close as you can get to a person and gives you access to intimate details of their lives. Remember, Jezebel is a soul tier, right? A soul violator. And some modern day eunuchs, here's the thing, You got to look at yourself, make sure you don't have a eunuch spirit. I had a friend one time, and it was discovered that she had that eunuch spirit, and she was just really had to repent over it. But some modern day eunuchs actually thrive on this close relationship with the seductive Jezebel. Others are just trapped because of their insecurities or their fears, because they need Jezebel to defend them because they don't know who they are in Christ. For whatever reason, this relationship is not uncommon. Where you find Jezebel, you don't always find Ahab, but where you find Jezebel, if there aren't eunuchs, they will be soon if Jezebel's not tolerated and confronted. So in other words, where Jezebel is allowed to operate in a church or in a business, she will cultivate relationships with people who are hurt and wounded. And actually, the ultimate goal is to convert them into a Jezebel carrier. Does that make sense? So Jezebel is targeting those who she can strip of their power, strip of their identity, people that have hurts, people that have wounds, and trying to convert them into what I call a Jezebelite, right? So because they're trapped. So we've really got to discern Jezebel's eunuchs in our midst. It was Maggie, that's a fake name, but the church administrator, she had this delegated authority that she craved in the church. She was like, aside from the apostle and the pastor, she was the most powerful person in the church. She was right there with them all the time. And this Jezebelic pastor, the apostle, told her she could go anywhere they went. Like, she had intimate details of their lives. Anywhere they were, she could go. She had that access to them. And she was essentially serving in Jezebel's bedchamber. She worked to make this Jezebelic pastor, this apostle, look good, even at her own personal expense. I mean, she was seduced by this little thimbleful of power that he gave her. So power hungry, because she had also been in a very bad